Well, hey, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown, and truly, I am so excited for today's conversation. Today, we're hanging out with my real-life bestie in the Lord, Grace Valentine. Grace is a speaker, she's an author, she is an incredible woman of God who shares of His love and of her story so honestly, and I'm so grateful for that. You may have seen her mini books or read one of her real books and been also sweetly impacted by the words and stories that she shares. And so when I prayerfully considered, Lord, who should we have this conversation with? Because today's conversation, as we continue in this model prayer of Matthew 6 of what Jesus was teaching us to pray and how we should pray, I thought, man, who should we have this conversation with? And of course, the Lord brought to the forefront of my heart the one, the only, Grace Valentine. This conversation was convicting. And this conversation to me was truly comforting as well. And so I pray that you leave this conversation feeling a similar type of way. Grace is incredible, and I'm so grateful for our time that we had with her today. So I pray this conversation blesses you, again meets you right where you're at. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. Grace Valentine, my sister, my sweet friend, I am so grateful to hang out with you today.
Well, I am so thankful anytime I get one friend Georgia time, but even the getting to do ministry together, life together has been such a joy. I feel like we've had so many opportunities this past year and a half, you know?
I know. Yeah, it's been literally so sweet, and we got to spend time together. It feels like just a couple weeks ago. I think it was. Was it just a couple weeks ago?
I was actually debating that. I'm like, it feels like yesterday I was here. Maybe it was like 2 months ago?
Yeah. Wait, you're right.
I know. Time flies. Time flies, man.
Yeah, it's been so sweet. And y'all, we were going to record this at our last sleepover, but let me tell you what, we were so tired. It was so funny. And I think this friendship is just so special to me and so significant and set apart.
You're going to say what I think you are.
Oh, I'm going to say it. Girl, I'm going to say it. Why don't you say it?
No, you say it.
Okay, I'll say it. What I love so much about Grace Valentine is we were both so pooped that we just said, hey, I'm going to lay in my bed. And Grace was like, hey, I'm going to DoorDash some Chick-fil-A and sit on your couch.
And watch Hunger Games 1, 2, 3, 4.
Literally all in one day. And I was like, go for it, girl. And I literally like laid in my bed, watched PureFlix while this girl's watching Hunger Games. And like, that's what I love about our friendship is there's no like performance. There's no need to like put on a mask or like entertain even.
And just you're not worried. Yeah. I think we all have those friendships where you're like, I have to host or I have to be worried that they're having fun or they're going to have a bad experience and think less of me. And that's not actual friendship when you are worried on the edge of your seat. And sometimes it's your own insecurity, but I love that we just kind of jumped right to it. And I feel like that was the moment me and Georgia were like, okay, we're good friends. Like, we are at that level. And so it was such a joy.
I needed that. I literally needed that. You are so special to me. And when I thought about this devotional and who I wanted to have a conversation with, like, you were one of the first people laid on my heart, especially when it came to this conversation of lead us not into temptation, because the ministry that the Lord has entrusted you with, you're stewarding it so beautifully because you don't have a filter on that makes everything look so picture perfect, beautiful, and you share so honestly, and that's what we all need to hear. And our loving Father does that all throughout the scriptures. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. The kingdom is so upside down, and He shares things that are hard for the people to hear, but it's exactly what it needs to be. And you do that, and it leaves me going, she gets me, but also she's been there. And you're not worried about what will they say, just as your book says. And I just love that. And so lead us not into temptation is going to be kind of where we land today. But let's just talk about Gracie, girl. I don't think I've ever asked you if I've been allowed to call you that, but I just call you Gracie, girl. And
there's only a few people in my life I let call me Gracie, and you're allowed to be one of them.
Okay, good. Okay,
you
good.
And Miss Donna from my hometown, who's known me since second grade, she's like, I have to call you Gracie, but I'll let Georgia Brown be one of them
too. Okay, good, because you're just so sweet. I just love you so much. And so take us back, Grace. Like, did you grow up in the church? What was that home family life like as you were building that foundation?
Yeah. So what's interesting is I always grew up with parents who told me about Jesus, took me to church, And we prayed before meals. We always had a family dinner. And you get older and I realize how rare that is. And I'm so thankful that they instilled that in me. That they also were the type of family that was like, if there was a sleepover, they would make me pack my church clothes, you know? And I'm like, I would be like, Mom, Dad, stop it, you know? But I, now that I'm older, I'm like, that's so beautiful that they made me do that. And I'm so thankful. But honestly, like, our faith was very much like, it was, you know, it's what we did. I don't think I ever, we ever really discussed it much more than that. You know, I mean, we each discussed that, like, we love Jesus, but we, you know, not the why, not the that. And I grew up in a church that was so great at times, but I watched a lot of pastors fall, like, and they fell into temptation, you know? And then there was sometimes not cover-ups, but probably not honesty when it came to that. And so that's where a lot of church hurt comes, is that there's hurt from temptation, but then there's hurt from not being honest about it and almost feeling like we'll protect them if we don't tell, like, the youth kids what the youth pastor did, but then you're only creating a false narrative. And I went to, like, a very public high school, and so there was even times, like, people in my public high school knew about my pastor's sins, but not me, you know?
Wow.
And that was a hard place, I think, for me. And looking back, I can see now how that affected, especially when I ended up struggling more with temptation, is because that became, that's how I thought you handled it. Like, you dealt with it on your own, quote unquote, and then you just hit it, put on a good face, and that's the best way. And so I'm very different than that now, but I think that affected me in the beginning of when I was in college, because typical college, you know, world, I think I went a sorority and I just felt like I had to get this experience. I thought freedom would come from, like, I don't know, slamming shots. Like, you know, like, honestly, just, like, drinking lots and feeling like a cool girl. But then there was a time when I woke up and I was like, I'm not having fun. I just got sold this lie, like, that this was fun, and it wasn't. I have a headache. I have cringy texts. I have hang anxiety, like, you know, which is like a hangover and anxiety at the same time. Anyways, but I had all these things that were not good. And I had to come to a point where I was like, what in my life has affected my viewpoint that I need to work on now with God? And how can I move forward in prayer and in relationship with God so that I don't live this life that isn't freeing? And so, I don't know, is that clear?
Yeah. Yeah. Story a little? Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, that's a lot. And I think so many of our friends will say, I've been there too, G. Mm. Like, to both of us, because our stories are different, you know? It's just insane to me as I think about James. And James at the very beginning says that the enemy will try to take us away to the sins that so entice us. And that is so unique and specific. And I know it's in there and I'm just can't flip to it right now. But y'all, look that verse up. It's in James, I think, 1 or 2, where it talks about the enemy will drift us to what gets us. And so for me, my story was, girl, no one in college invited me to a party. Like, I don't think I would know where to find that. You know, I remember in college, I hosted a few like sermon nights at one of the sorority houses.
I love that.
At AOPI. We would like pop up a sermon onto their projector, and just, they're like, five girls would come, but that was five girls.
Yeah.
You know, and we would just talk, and I loved them. And, you know, I think it's called a snap bid, where they were like, you should just get a snap bid and come join us in the sorority. But
wait, that's so sweet.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So it almost happened.
I did not know you were a sorority girl.
I almost was.
Oh, you were?
I almost was. And I just loved them. You see it? It was fun. And I loved that little season of college, of where I got to do those little Bible nights. But my thing was not like partying or, you know, drinking throughout college. I think mine started really in high school, girl, where I was like so insecure. My dad traveled a lot. And so, you know, we see God through the lens of our earthly father. And I love my dad immensely. He's great. But with him absent sometimes throughout the week, I realized that this God-sized hole that I was trying to fill with boys was not being satisfied by that. And so I was being tempted in areas of like finding my identity in another human being. And so that was where my temptation came from. And then even when I got older into college and the stress of that, girl, I was under eating or overindulging. It's interesting, in and out of every season, where the enemy will try to see, okay, what can I get to you now in this season? In this current moment, it's financial stress of like, Lord, how on earth are you going to do this? I know in scripture, you pulled like a coin out of a fish, like, do it again, Lord, you know? And so,
wine.
Yeah.
My debt into excess. I know.
Yeah. So we can be tempted to even worry when the Lord says, fear not, beloved, you know? And so in those moments of temptation in college for you, Grace, when either you gave into it or not? Like, what did that look like? What was going through your mind? Like, what were you wrestling with?
Well, first of all, I want to like acknowledge everything you said, because everything you said is so real. And I think it always comes back to insecurity.
Yeah.
It comes from not insecure, not sure that like you feel the comfort and the safety of a father nearby, or insecurity that you don't feel comfort in like your creator having a purpose. Like when you're insecure in your faith and in who you are and who God created you, that's when sin comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That, or I've also seen boredom, like when you're not content, you
know. There you go.
And so for me, it was a mixture of both. Like I struggled with body image for a while too, and so that was a very much sinful, and then it was almost like I didn't struggle with it, and I wasn't brushing my hair, and I wasn't like caring about it, and then I was like, I'm so much more secure, but I was like throwing drinks and liquids into my body that were not good for it. And so, I mean, when I was struggling with temptation in college, I think for me, the first thing was to understand why I was doing it. I think no one ever says, because it sounds like almost like a movie of like, oh, I'm doing this to fit in, I'm doing this to be cool. But I was like, I want to be the funny friend. Like, and I, like my humor is something that I like not rely on, but it's kind of, it's my worldly identity. People might be like, Grace is funny, I like to think, you know. But I think I was like, well, I'm funnier when I'm drunk, you know. And then it became, I wasn't even remembering the stories. And the sad thing is people didn't even realize it. I wasn't even in a good place. But they were like, oh, that was so funny. And they were like, quote unquote, nice. But they were encouraging my sin. And so finally, honestly, it took God bringing me to my knees and realizing that this was not fulfilling, and just feeling like blacking out, like a big Uber payment, MIP, like I got in trouble with like a ticket. And I, after that moment, when it was like fighting against it, when I was in college and I had to walk away, I think I had to know myself, which they talk about in James 2, like I had to know my boundaries, because I'm someone who today doesn't think it's bad if my friend has at a, like a dive bar, not like a club, and she said, will you come say happy birthday to me? I don't think it's bad for me to go. But there was a point for a year in college where I did not go out, and I was turned 21. And that was the irony. I'm like, well, now I'm 21, God. But I felt his peace of being like, you don't need to be there right now. Like you're not in the place to say no. And I would just drive people. I wouldn't get out my car. Like I would just pick people up from the bars, bring them back. And I would talk to God on those drives. I would even sometimes, which I don't recommend this, but if I saw like young girls walking back to the dorms, like I used to be, I would pick them up. I'd be like, you want to ride? Which like they shouldn't say yes. I probably shouldn't bring strangers. But if I felt like God's peace was in that, I would do that. And it would feel so much more fulfilling. And I just prayed along those drives. And I did a lot of scripture reading. And I tried to figure out like my own healthy habits. And I even I remember treating like my body like a temple. Didn't just mean like having confidence with the way my body was. And like, because I had struggled with under eating and an eating disorder, even like making myself throw ups, but treating my body like a temple meant also incorporating healthy habits that brought life and didn't bring destruction. And so that was something I had to add, along with prayer and along with meditation and God's scripture, and also remembering that like acts of service is a beautiful love language with Christ. When I was spending and adding more time serving others, it was a lot harder to distract myself and feeling bored and doing something I'd regret. And so adding in like discipleship of like a younger girl and with an older person, like as in getting discipled and then discipling someone else younger, that was beautiful for me to experience too, you know, because that led me away from the boredom that sometimes creates sin.
Yeah, exactly. Grace, that is incredible. What I love from all of what you just said that really stuck out to me, there's so much there, but you talked about even in places that you found temptation, you were using that as a way to get others out of their temptation, of taking them home and away from the places that were dark. Like, that is so beautiful. Like, that is so sweet. So in what areas of our life, the things that we have been through, the places where we've been tempted to undereat, overeat, to not take care of the temple, to party, to have misplaced identity and try to put it in another human being, how can we share our stories for God's glory and say, hey, I see you. Let me point you back to him.
Well, there's a quote I love, and it's be who you needed when you were younger.
Like, love it.
Be who you needed when you were broken, you know? And so I think that is, like, honestly the calling Jesus has for each of our lives. The idea that, like, you're going to go through something, and there's also so much of a less – and sometimes I've also learned that – and this is something I've been guilty of, especially when I was in college, is if someone was living life differently than me and I felt convicted, I said they were judging me. But the truth is, I honestly felt convicted because I knew who the Holy Spirit was. I had accepted Jesus in my heart. I knew I was not where I should be.
Yeah.
There were some times where it was judgment. But then whenever I switched very quickly, because it would be like a 4 months, no one knows And it was, this was kind of the frustrating part. No one knows it's been 4 months of me not drinking or going out. I still have the reputation of it. But then I was like, you know what? I'll be the girl who holds someone's hair, takes them home. And she didn't feel judged because she knew my reputation, you know? And I'm like, think about how people felt around Paul when Paul was, you know, had gone from being Saul. Like, people might have known him by his old name, but when they were watching him live a new life, like, that was empowering. And you almost feel, I think it's easy to be like, well, I don't want to judge people like I felt judged. I'm like, well, you do hope people feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, but you do hope that they can see you and remember that that was who I used to be, but God has created me new, you know? And so this could be you. This could, you could go from being the girl with her head in the toilet to the girl holding someone's hair, like, very easily. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that hard. All it took was a couple months of just saying no and figuring it out. And also not listening to other people's judgment, because there are judgment of, I think whenever I was trying my best, some people didn't believe me. And I think that hurt the most when Christians would be like, is Grace really walking with the Lord? And there's someone who even recently said that, like, from my college, I heard to someone else. And I know they probably were just out of gossip, curious. Like, is it really? Is she? I'm like, this is not a, it's like, this would be a lot I'm giving up at this point. And that really hurt me. And that still hurts me the most. But I have to also remember when I'm walking in the relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, that it's not for other people to prove myself. It's not to prove that I'm Christian. It's to be with Christ. And mm-hmm. so to feel his presence and not this pressure to prove that I am a Christian, you know, because that is when, like, people will see your fruit. They'll know you by your fruit. And that's it may it. Not be tomorrow, and it may not be next week. And if their heart is cold into judgment, then they may not believe you. But you just have to stay in your lane and walk towards, you know, your race. Run that race towards Jesus. Don't run that race to prove, please the Christians, approve that you're doing great, you know, but choose obedience, because obedient leads to the, like, heavenward and where you have God's presence.
Girl, that's so good. Seriously, like, it's not about being a perfect Christian. It's about walking in Christ, with Christ, and wanting to be made in the image and likeness more and more like him. And even Jesus wasn't accepted in his own hometown. They were like, yeah, what good can come from Nazareth? You know, it's just so crazy. And Paul to Saul. I mean, Saul to Paul. My gosh, I'm having some tongue ties today. Yeah. Not today, Satan. Yeah. But seriously, like, it just amazes me. And someone needs to hear this today. You're not who you were. Like, you are not who you were.
Yeah.
And I think something that I think about often is, I've worked so hard to get here. Mm-hmm. Like, I was talking to a friend the other day about this. He's a single dad. He's got a 4-year-old sweet little boy. And I didn't know him when he was, you know, a crazy guy partying around. And, you know, the Lord works all things together. And now he has the most beautiful son with the sweetest little smile. But I didn't know him then. Mm. And now I see him, and we're both getting to glorify the Father together on this other side of being a new creation in Christ. New means new to our friends. Like, it's not refurbished and not just put back together. Yeah. Like, new means new from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. You have a new name, and it's written down in glory.
Yeah.
You know, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so I pray, friends, that you would find freedom in that, because they may not see that, but guess what? Those that have the heavenly lens of Christ will see that.
Amen.
And you're not here for the approval of others. You're here for the audience of one, Jesus. Like, even when I'm leading worship, like last night, Grace, I was just like, Lord, this is just you. Like, this is not a platform. This is an altar. Like,
wow.
I am just here to be a living sacrifice. And if they don't get it, that's okay.
Mm.
Because I'm not doing it for them anyways.
Yeah.
And so I would like to, like, switch over as we talk about temptation. Because for so long, Grace, I was so paralyzed after I, you know, really started walking with the Lord. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I want to do this right. I started even being paralyzed by this perfectionism of I can't mess up at all. And then truly that was getting into some legalistic things too, of thinking that I could just mess up and then God would be so mad at me. But truly, temptation is not a sin. Being tempted and tried is not the sin. Mm-hmm. Acting upon it, that's when, you know, we open up door to the enemy, and that's when we start to sin and stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because even Jesus himself was tempted and tried, as God's word says, in every way. Like, the enemy came to him in Matthew 4 and was like, you know, do this, do that 3 times. And the the Lord through Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have to know the word. And so I loved what you said about, like, even those during those months, just going on drives, talking to him. And that's what prayer is, just talking to him in scriptures. Were there any, like, specific scriptures during that time that really anchored you in knowing, no, I'm a new creation, I'm not going back?
Well, first, there's a verse in Isaiah. I want to say it's Isaiah 40, 30. Oh, gosh, I don't remember the exact coordinates, but it says, forget the former things. Like, don't you see I'm doing something new? It's springing up. And I think that was an important one for me. I think when we talked on anything in Philippians, especially, like, I think you hear Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But what's so much more beautiful is, like, right before that, it's talking about contentness.
Yeah.
And that when Paul was reading that, he was in prison. I think that gave me a lot of peace of, gosh, it was... I'm trying to remember how it says, like, I know what it is to have lack nothing. I know what it is to have everything. I know what it is to have nothing. And, like, nothing compares to knowing the love of Christ. And I think that was something that I had to realize, that, like, I know what it's like to be invited to those parties and get that. Like, right now it looks fun when I'm not there and I have FOMO, or I know what it's like to honestly have a quote unquote better body, but I was not healthy treating myself that way. But, like, I know what it also is like to be the drunk girl crying on the floor. Like, I've been in those positions, but, like, nothing compares to knowing Christ. Like, I'm so much more content when I'm walking with Christ. I think just reminding myself of that. And then obviously Romans 8:28 is my life verse. And I think that's in your book at one point.
It is.
And we know that God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And I think just reminding myself, God's working for my good. Like, he's not calling me something so I'll miss out. I think.
Yeah. Come on.
I was always scared I'd miss out on, like, a fun life. And then I realized that that's what it was. And when it comes to prayer, especially, a story in the Bible that really has helped me lately with prayer is when Jacob was wrestling God. And I think that has been, like, so important to me. And I think that's how temptation can often feel. And when Jacob approached, like, God and said, hey, like, I'm not going to stop wrestling with you until I have received a blessing. And I'm like, I don't pray like that. Sometimes I pray and say, dear God, I would like this. Amen. Like, you know, and that's not prayer. Like, almost being like, God, I'm in your presence. Like, I don't want to leave here till I can feel your peace. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean he owes that to you, but just almost like calling his power what it is. And so, and knowing his power. And then the best part is Jacob walked away with a limp. And I think sometimes we're so scared of having a mark about our weakness, you know? Like, you might be scared of your testimony, or you might be scared of your lack of a quote unquote bad testimony, but you went through hardships in middle school, and that bullying and the teasing and the lefting out, that was hard, and it doesn't feel as bad as some other people, so you feel insecure. But realizing that your limp is beautiful, like, take ownership of the trial that became testimony, and that it was a sign of God's strength, and that the limp was God's presence, and that was the blessing, you know, of showing that there was weakness and he's walking away because he has Christ strengthen him now, you know, and that Christ was stronger. And so those are passages and scriptures that really helped me. And just also remembering that God always knows what he's doing. And like Jeremiah 29:11, I think that's a verse that gets over talked about, but like, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I think just remembering that my future of living at God's best is way better than anything I could try. Any temporary boy that I'm willing to settle for because I'm sad, you know, any insecurity, any temptation to have sex or to do something that I'll regret, to drink and drive or whatever, like, none of that is the plans that God has for me to prosper me and not to harm me. But the plans I might have are plans to harm me. And when I follow temptations, I may be led to those plans. Like, and they're the plans of the enemy, not of my Father who loves me.
Grace, this is all so good. I love this so much. Oh, and to the friend too that is just in a hard friend circle where they're prone to gossip.
Oh, so
you know what
true.
I mean? Like, because we think about these big things, and I've fallen into few of them, you know what I'm saying? But then to the gossip, or to the lying to your parents, or whatever it may be, that verse, Romans 8:28, your life verse, I just love that. I have that in a section of the book where I talk about to sister here, like, faith without works is dead. And like, I could have all the faith in the world and pray, lead me not into temptation, Lord, lead me not into temptation, Lord, but also, like, we have a choice, and I have to put feet to my faith. And so even when I'm in those situations in the past of like, God, I don't think this relationship that I'm in is bringing you glory. Like, I just, please deliver me from evil. And then finally it's like, okay, child, go break up with him. You know?
Because also I think we so often want God to do the dirty work for us. Yep, like, you know,
exactly.
We want, and then he calls us to it and we're like, oh, like, I guess, you know, self-control is a fruit of the spirit. Like, I have to close, I have to choose and walk and root myself and have the self-control to say no. You know?
Like, exactly.
God knows that he can lead me away. He can lead me to plans that prosper me, not to temptation. But I'm choosing a lot of times to be led into temptation by my yeses, you know? And when I say yes to something else, I'm saying no to Jesus. And I think that's also important. And gossip is such a real thing, because gossip not only causes you to speak destruction in others' lives, it causes you to only see destruction and hurt in your own life. And so when you gossip, it might seem funny, but over time, you're going to also feel way more insecure. You don't feel like your best. I know every time I've done that, I will wake up and be like, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. And I would even challenge anyone, after you talk about someone, obviously, unless it's something that would just only hurt, you need to confess that to that person, especially if it's a friend, you know? Be like, friend, I was not talking about you in the best light, and like, that wasn't fair. And you need to go back to that person you gossiped with, and you don't need to call them up out of it. But I've learned I feel better when I create the parameters in that friendship of being like, hey, the other day, the conversation I had about Georgia, like, that was my fault. That was my sin. And I'm so sorry that I put you in a situation where we were talking about that. You take ownership with it. Because I think sometimes in those moments, it almost becomes like after the tree of, you know, they were eating the fruit.
Yeah.
Where you point at other people, you go, well, Eve did this. And then the snake did this. Because you see the sin in other people's lives. But it's so important that you call yourself up and you take accountability so that you can walk in the righteous way. But you have to first acknowledge that.
Exactly. It makes me think of that scripture where it talks about, like, stop trying to get the log out of somebody else's eye when you've got a log in your own eye, you know? And when I think about gossip too, this is just a side note too, when I'm with someone and they start talking bad about someone, I kind of start to shut down because I'm like, if they're saying this about someone else,
saying about you?
What are they saying about me? Will they say something about me?
They probably do. And also, I love friendships where me and my friend Mackenzie, we always joke where no one ever will say anything bad about either of us to each other, because that's my girl, you know?
Yeah. Like,
but I have to do that not just for Mackenzie. I need to do that for all of God's people, because that's how God is. Like, he's like, that's my girl. Why are you talking about her?
Yeah.
Like, this is what she's doing. Like, there's a reason for, like, you know? And so I think understanding, like, everyone should be your girl like that. Like, when you, no one will come and talk to you about your best friend or say something negative because they know where you stand. Mm. But are you standing in that loving way, in that posture, that people know that you feel like that about everyone, you know? Because a lot of times the reason people are coming up to gossip with me is because I was doing it back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to call myself up and realize, oh, that. And I love that you say, like, you just kind of get silent. I think it's so easy to think that you have to speak your mind in those moments and say, hey, this, but, like, speak the spirit, not your mind. So speak love, joy, gentleness, truth. Like, sometimes you have to be gentle with certain people. Some people aren't ready to hear, hey, we should probably not be talking about this. Some people need to hear, you know, silence, you know, and they need to hear, you know what, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, they need to hear it in a more gentle way. And so I think understanding the difference.
Yeah, no, I love that. Like, yeah, even putting feet to your faith in a way of just saying, changing the conversation. Hey, why don't we, you know, because that's in the moment you can choose, like, okay, Lord, lead me not into temptation of even giving in to what they're going to say. And may I just direct this back to the light, of drawing things into the light. And so that's another practical way for our friends that are like, well, how do I do this? Like, truly in those moments, call upon the Holy Spirit. Be like, Holy Spirit, please, I need you in this moment. Like, show me the light of where I can be your example right now. Because truly, like, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Because it is truly, like, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, in your sight. Psalm 19, like, it's just so amazing. So that's why we have to be in the Word. Because when you get in the Word gets in you. And then it just becomes the overflow of your heart. And so, Grace, like, neither of us are who we used to be. Isn't that so amazing?
It is. And it's even the idea of, I think it's beautiful. When you're walking a new creation, you're not going to choose your friends based off similarities. You're going to choose your friends based off the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And so I think what's beautiful is, like, if I don't mean this at all, if 4 years ago, we probably wouldn't be friends.
No, that's probably true.
Like, we probably wouldn't have chosen each other. No. But we've chosen each other now because we see Jesus in each other, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how anyone is once they're a believer, is, like, you see Jesus in them. You're not choosing friendships based off oh, it's convenient. It's
zip code. Going to school.
It gives me something. We have the same hobbies and interests. And there's nothing wrong with having those friends, especially when you're living on mission. Like, look at people next to you at the gym. Like, they could be people God wants you to share the gospel with.
Exactly.
But also having those people that you can call, and also who will be friendships that don't lead you to temptation. Like, I mean, you're not perfect. You're not expecting perfection, but you're two people chasing after his presence. And like, that is what I feel in this friendship. And that's what I hope for everyone, that they'll see that we probably wouldn't have been sorority sisters, because you probably were showing sermons and I was showing everyone a good time, you know, but like, you know, like that, the beautiful thing is like, now we are, and we get to be because of the gospel.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, I love you so much and I'm so grateful. And this makes me think of last time I saw Grace, we were headed to the Live Original Retreat. We're ambassadors for that. And we just love that community. It's so special and so sweet. But this was my first retreat I was able to go to. You've been to one before, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as we're getting ready to go, like, Grace spent the night here. We just had so much fun, y'all. And then we were driving our way into Nashville and it was so sweet. But I was a little nervous, like, honestly, because even though you're a new creation in Christ, you think back because your mind still remembers, right, where you've been.
And Mean Girls, especially. You grow up and you still feel like that awkward 14-year-old on their first day.
Yeah, or like trying to show up to youth group on a Wednesday night and you're like, are they going to want to sit with me or hang out with me in their circles? Like, honestly. And so having to even voice that and then remind myself of the truth of like, let's just go in and be yourself. Yeah. And even if you feel this way, how can I go love on the girl that maybe feels this exact same way? Mm-hmm. Or if I see someone sitting alone, I'm going to be that one to go up to them because I would have wanted that for me. But let me tell you what, I couldn't have been more wrong. I walked in and every girl was so sweet and hospitable. And because the foundation was on Jesus Christ, like, my gosh, there was so much freedom within this sisterhood of girls that I'd never even met before, or even really kind of knew existed before that moment that the Lord brought us together. And so there's so much sweetness within the sisterhood of Christ because it's not competition. It's just all about celebration.
And they're your teammates. Like, you know, and that's, I think when you realize that, and there's so many, I think I have to get to this point where I still have some friends who aren't really believers and aren't working with the Lord, but I have to make sure that our foundation isn't completely temptation. That our foundation is also me on mission. You know, that needs to be our foundation, that they know where I stand. They know that's not me. Doesn't mean that they have to change that. You know, I've totally have those, but when you have those friendships where the foundation is clearly Jesus, that is when it is such a beautiful, where they can call you up, where you also don't have to be weary about them leading you in temptation because you know they know who the Lord is. And in those moments that they do open up the door to gossip because they're not perfect, one of you, chances are, like, I mean, it says when one falls down, the other picks them up. Like, that's what it talks about in Ephesians, friendship. And so an iron sharpens iron, you know? And so as friends, you need to be holding each other accountable and calling each other up in those moments and sharpening each other. And so pity the man who doesn't have anyone. And I also want to encourage anyone who does not have any Christian friends right now to be that friend you wish you had. Yeah. And don't be afraid. I think there's, in our society, like, people get so scared of being the one who is a quote unquote better friend at first, the one who tries to put himself out there. Like, it is not pathetic to go up to someone and try to be friends. Like, wouldn't you rather be the better friend? Wouldn't you rather be the one who asks people to hang out and is kinder? Like, don't be scared of being the better friend. If anything, be scared of not putting yourself out there to meet people that God has placed in your life.
Come on. I literally love that. And something that you just said that really hit me is, are you the same person around everybody? Mm. Like, don't let your situations change you. Change the situation. Mm. Like, when you walk into the room as an atmosphere shaker and as a generation changer of being a child of the kingdom, you know, like, may they know where you stand. Like, I love that. You don't have to have a sign on your back that says, hello, I'm a child of God, but just exude that good fruit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that you were saying. Like, that's so sweet. Like, I know when Grace Valentine walks in the room, I'm going to be loved. She doesn't have to come out and say, I love you. But when she makes eye contact with me and smiles and just shares, like, how are you? Like, I feel loved.
And to me, when, like, I also know that, like, if I have a new friend, the way that I can tell someone's character is if I bring a new person, I know Georgia Brown is going to go up to them and make them feel loved. Not only me, who you have history with, like, with someone else. And I think that's a beautiful gift that you can give each other and as friends. And yeah, like you said, being the same person around all those people, because you're the same child of God, you know? But it takes a lot of times that community to build you up. Like, when we think about Jesus sitting at meals with non-believers and people who were living in sin, he usually had his boys with him, you know, like he had the people. And so I think having friends that live on mission that will always hold you accountable in those moments, because those, it's a lot easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. And so you have to also be prepared in those moments.
Oh, girl, that's so good. I am just so excited. Like, this conversation, like, makes me want to keep going.
I know. Well, I'm so excited about your book and everything that I've seen in it. Oh, and this chapter of Lean Not Temptation, I just know that there's probably someone listening to this who's already read it, or people who have probably just pre-ordered or read the book and are waiting on the book. And I just want everyone here that I've seen a sneak peek of it, and it is worth the hype, and it's going to be cool of what it does for people's prayer walks, you know, that they can wrestle with God, they can learn about temptation, they can learn about the power of prayer and everything, and thy will be done. And like, it's just so cool what you've created in this.
God is so good. Yeah, God is just blowing my mind. And it's funny because I was putting on my makeup to even just do this with you today, and I'm like, Lord, like, man, this message, like, even before it comes out, I'm having to, like, live it out of every day. Like, hi, God, it's me. Like, today I am empty. Today I am overflow. Like, just being so honest with him of right where I'm at. So, friend, if you're listening to this before July 18th, go pre-order on Amazon. After July 18th and you're listening to this fun conversation, like, thank you. And I just pray that this devotional is blessing you. And I just know that this conversation with Grace has just made you feel, hopefully, just so seen, heard, and loved. Because that's what I love Grace does when she sits down at the table. She just truly opens up that seat for you to sit down and say, hey, sis, like, come sit by me. And I love that about you. And it makes me want to do that more and more and to be a better friend. And so thank you, Grace Valentine. You're incredible. Y'all, please go get all of her books anywhere books are sold. How many you got out now? Like 500?
I know.
Like three?
Three. But when does this come out? When does this conversation come out?
This conversation comes out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, at this point, I'm like, crazy.
Stop.
Yeah, my book comes out.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited about my books, but I'm really excited about yours. Just the idea that it's such a great study. So I know I'm going to be doing it.
And I know that I'm going to be reading your new Devo to the girl
looking
and
looking
for more.
And
yes.
It's a long title, but it's
no, I love
on my
it.
Instagram, which is at the Grace Valentine, my little mini books. And so super excited.
All of that is in the show notes, y'all. So you should totally check all of those beautiful resources out. Grace Valentine, you're a joy. I love you. You're incredible.
Love your friendship. Love you.
Friend, thank you so much for joining me in this precious conversation with Grace Valentine. We are seriously so grateful that you would spend a little of your time today with us. We pray that this conversation met you right where you're at and truly encouraged you, because y'all, if anything, I left this conversation sharpened knowing, oh yeah, I'm not in this alone. There are other people fighting the good fight, running the race that God has set before them, truly throwing off the sin of this world, the sin that so easily entangles, and running the race set before them, keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, as it says in Hebrews 12. I'm just so grateful for that reality. And so who do you need to call today? Who do you maybe need to send this episode to, or just gather the gang together to have a night or some fun time of encouragement and joy and laughter and soaking up the love of the Lord? Y'all, Grace is the real deal. And you need to check out all of her books, all of her mini books, and all of that goodness is in the show notes. But before we go, seriously, I would just love to pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for each and every friend that joined us in this conversation. I thank you for their life, their story, and I thank you for all what you have been doing within their life just this week, God. I pray that you would not lead them into temptation, that truly that they would choose joy and righteousness and just all the good fruits of the Spirit, that they would deny their flesh, pick up their cross, and follow you daily, Lord. May we all have eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing in this hour, God. May our friends not be distracted and not be destroyed by the enemy in this time. May they see the importance of right where you have them planted. And may they be a friend that champions on their friends to choose you and not choosing the world. because the word and your kingdom are so better than this world and just the little earthly things that it could offer. So Father, I just thank you. And I just pray that my friends would be strengthened, God, by your goodness and by your love and by your peace that truly surpasses all understanding. So God, we thank you for Grace. We thank you for her ministry, for her heart and all of her books. I pray that you would bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, sweet friends, truly, I'm beyond grateful that you have been here for this fun conversation. And I seriously cannot wait to see you next week as we continue and go from lead us not into temptation into deliver us from evil. The Lord is so good and he loves you so much. May he continue to strengthen you and uphold you in his righteous right hand, y'all. Stay encouraged, choose joy, and I just love you so much. But please do not forget, there is a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important.